Fellow Freedom fans, we're back here with the Liberty Works Radio Network. You heard all about it. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is my Faith and Freedom show. I talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. What's your reference? What's your reference, folks? So what we're going to do is we're going to scrutinize something that's going on. It's going on. It's going to continue happening in your state. And those of you who are listening online around the world and around the country, it matters to you. There's a few Texans that are tuning in today. And this issue matters. A gentleman who tried to renew his pesticide license in Texas. And they said, I'm sorry. No, they didn't even say I'm sorry. They would not process his application because for decades he had not been identifying with a social security number because of his religion, because of a biblical prohibition that he understood that he was prohibited from using a universal identification number, you know, prohibited from embracing a number as an element of his identity. And so he was not able to put a number on the application. And of course, they denied his application, actually didn't process it. So I'm talking to Jerry Ward of Garlow Ward. I'm sorry, Garlow Ward. The Lord bless Garlow, whoever Garlow is. Haven't met Garlow yet, but Garlow Ward PC. We're talking to Jerry Ward. And she's going to tell us about essentially what they're trying to do. What is it they're asking for? What do they believe their court, their case? Why should their plaintiff, or yeah, their plaintiff, their client, why should their client be able to get a pesticide applicator's license even though they can't identify with this universal number? So that's what I'm posing to you now, Jerry Ward. Again, thank you for being here. Tell us essentially the element of your case. Why do you think, well, just tell us what the real crux of this thing is.
Well, the crux of it is that the government somehow believes that through these technical issues, they can deny you the ability to make a living in your chosen field. And you know, that's what licensure in essence really is, because it's essentially government control over your ability to make a living if you're in one of these professional designations where they require such a license. And I personally, on a personal level, I have a real problem with the whole idea of licensing anyone. I'm pretty libertarian on that issue because I can see how the government can rule your life, not so much to protect the public from you, but in order to increase their power over you. Let me give you one example of that, because what I do in the rest of my practice is represent health providers who are being attacked by the government because of licensure issues. And I was studying the social worker regulations here in Texas, and I found that one of those regulations requires a social worker to not discriminate against clients on the basis of sexual preference. So, and I can see where that goes. Where that would go is a social worker then can't work with someone who is a homosexual and try to help them, you know, cast off that life for a godly life as a heterosexual. So there are different ways that these licensure laws can indeed stop you from practicing your religious freedom, because, of course, if I were a Christian social worker, that would be part of my ministry. I mean, it's not just preachers who have ministries. It's all Christians who have ministries. Yet these licensure laws hem us in with regard to limiting our ability to carry forth our Christian ministry and our Christian witness. So I have a problem with the whole presupposition that the government should have a right and should have a power and authority to license us in any area.
Okay.
But this is just an example of how they can misuse the licensure practice or the licensure process in order to exercise a federal mandate pertaining to the deadbeat dad law, which is a whole other area of government interfering in the family.
Okay, and your case right now, as we're talking about it, it's one where you've got somebody who's really cut off from their livelihood. And so, and as I understand it, the way the case is actually going forward is great sacrifice of you and your staff and people who are basically sending faith gift supports to try to pay the bills that you guys are incurring trying to do all the staff work. And so essentially the government's got you in a situation where they're cutting you off. You're basically cutting you off, basically forsake your faith, or we're going to make you not able to live. I mean, they're not chaining you to a wall and waterboarding you, but essentially if you take your vocation and eliminate you from access to it, then that's pretty intense stuff. I mean, that's pretty coercive.
That's the problem, because it takes a great deal of money to assert your rights through the court system. And that's really all we have left, the only venue we have left to assert those rights. I mean, in a lot of areas regarding licensure, the recourse that you have is administrative, through the administrative courts, which are not really courts at all and which do not protect due process and cannot even consider due process issues. So the judiciary is our recourse, but it's very expensive for any individual to go through in an attempt to protect their rights under the Religious Restoration Act or under any law or constitutional provision that's designed to pin down government from violating your rights.
And if you don't know this, folks, a lawyer, by the way, a lawyer doesn't just bill you because they need to eat. I mean, they're going to eat some of the stuff you pay. But also they've got staff members, and they've got accountants, and they've got light bills, and they've got marketing, and they've got, and so I just know lawyers who are very sacrificial. And some of you folks out there say every lawyer is a bad lawyer. I guess you know jokes about him. But I actually have a lawyer who told me that lawyers are supposed to be ministers of truth. Now you're thinking, oh, you've got to be kidding. Well, I think Jerry Ward's one of those people. Now, she hasn't said that, but I just get the impression that that's a perspective, a minister of truth. Now, the problem is they have a staff. And the tough part is most people they're helping are in a situation where it's very difficult for them to pay. And we're going to be telling you, I'll go ahead and I'll give you now, there's a website relating to Jean MacArthur's case. If you have any information of trying to support that, what you'll end up doing is supporting the bill. You're going to support Jerry enabling herself to hire people to try to get the work done as efficiently as possible as she oversees the case. It's christianliberty.org. I neglected to say that before. It's christianliberty.org. We do not get a benefit here at Liberty Works Radio Network or the Freedom Ministries or anything with regard to those gifts that you send. But check that out at christianliberty.org. Okay, we're going to get back to Mr. MacArthur's situation and your status of his case, and what is it that is essentially arguing to the government?
Well, what I'm arguing is that Gene has a legitimate religious interest in not giving a Social Security number to get his license. For one thing, he no longer has a Social Security number to give, because he has repudiated that Social Security number. So he has a sincerely held religious belief that he should not be identified on any governmental documents by his Social Security number, because it's the mark of the beast.
And that's, if that's his perspective, he's kind of stuck with it. Now, what do they say? Essentially, it is this Section 666 that is driving this, because, I mean, they don't care. I mean, whether he puts his first name, last name, as long as he's got an address and the people who know his operations, I guess, who do business with him, I guess they're the guys that really care whether or not he's got the license and whether he's able to be contacted by the Department of Agriculture over this license. But essentially, it is Section 666 of the Deadbeat Dad Code that is driving the states to get a number from everybody. Now, why is it that the government thinks that this is such a mandate? Is it really a mandate?
Well, I guess it's a mandate, but the thing is, it's also a huge money-making operation, the deadbeat dad laws. I mean, for one thing, it enables states who have paid welfare to go after dads when kids are even grown and get reimbursed. I mean, there's also sorts of financial interests by governmental entities and others to collect back child support. I mean, you probably read about the fellow there on, I think he's on the East Coast somewhere, who's been in jail for years because he allegedly did not pay child support, and the courts and the prosecutors have known for years that he's not even the biological dad. So there's a huge apparatus in effect, that's been created that has financial interests in tracking down so-called deadbeat dads and getting child support out of them.
Okay, so that's the background. That's sort of the machine that's rolling. But again, the question I have, you know, when you're in Texas, so you got Bernie versus Flores. It says the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act doesn't apply in Texas, and so the government's loving that. They love that. But then
I don't think that applies in this case because the state is affecting a federal mandate, so the feds are involved.
Well, so what I'm saying is, how can it really be a mandate if the refer can't be a mandate? How does this 666 be a mandate? I mean, they're both in section in 42 USC. One's 666, one's 2000. How come 2000 can't be a mandate? And, you know, it can't even apply, but now 666 is a mandate. How does that work?
Well, it's a federal program. The Religious Restoration Act is not a federal program. It's a federal program, just like Medicare, Medicaid is a federal program.
So you're saying the participation is really what has made it a mandate. Essentially, it comes operational because they're taking the welfare money.
Well, yeah, but there are also unfunded mandates, such as the Brady bill was an unfunded mandate, and sheriffs from several states essentially took it to all the way to the Supreme Court and found that under that circumstance, the federal government couldn't enforce the Brady Act in those particular states. So you've got two kinds of mandates. You've got the funded mandates and you've got the unfunded mandates. And I am assuming, although I don't do family law, that this 666 may be a funded mandate. And if it's not, I can't really see any of our Texas politicians interposing themselves with the federal government because they're all on the bandwagon of going after deadbeat dads too.
Well, that's the big question is, and again, I saw a Virginia case where the government argued the same thing. It was a federal mandate, but all of Virginia laws, you mentioned Prince and Mack versus the United States, they all indicated that they really didn't have an authority. It was directory. You know, it didn't really have the constitutional power to really be mandatory and certainly not to the point of trumping religion, you know. So I guess so in your case, you're basically raising a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, a federal act, even though Bernie versus Flores said it wouldn't apply in the states. But you're saying, well, it does apply to the federal mandate, so to speak. Right. So if 666 is driving it.
Dole-Weevil Foundation tried to bring that up in a partial summary judgment, tried to bring the Bernie case up, and we argued what I just said we were going to argue, and the judge denied their motion for summary judgment in Gene's case.
Wow. Well, that's good, because as I'm seeing this same kind of case all over the country, they're essentially losing, but they're pretty much losing by low-level attacks. It seems to me all over the country, I think that your case that you've got ought to be a win based on the facts and the principles. But the thing is, I've seen very similar cases around the country where you got the courts doing really weird things to kind of sidestep the issue so that the person who's really being oppressed isn't prevailing. What do you think about prevailing in this case under those situations?
Well, I'm just hoping that I don't have to go before any of the judges who do family law cases.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now you're hitting on a chord that folks in Florida can. It's so bad it's not funny, because they understand how the system is basically getting lots of money to be able to suck people. They suck people into the system, and that's a way that they're getting money. It's almost like a weird stimulus package that they've tapped into, some funding streams. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this again. As we're going to try to wrap this up, and I'm going to open up the phone to 888-850-1872, 888-850-1872. We'll have that open for you. When we get back, we shall return.